Blog Talk Radio.
We've got a great subject today, We are talking about moms and dads, and they're called parents. And it's so important that we recognize them. We don't recognize them enough in the process of this going to school and being involved in the workforce. We don't honor them enough to say, you know, especially those that are going to school themselves, then they're making sure that the little ones are going to school. That's got to be a horrendous responsibility, don't you agree? This is Professor Danita Applewhite coming through to you from Arizona. That's our headquarters for White Apple Institute, sponsor of our show, the Student to Teacher radio show on the Internet. We are so pleased to be here this morning to talk about this very timely subject and a very overlooked subject. Again, that's what we do. We talk about students who receive information, and we talk about teachers who share that information. And so if you've ever received or shared information, you are indeed a student and a teacher at different times of your life. Welcome to our show this morning. We have a few callers online, and we'll be glad to take care of you and get your comments after we get the show started a little bit. Let's talk about what our episode is about this morning. It's about, are you having trouble with being the parent and the student? And actually, this show is inspired by a number of people that I've known very, very closely as students, and my own daughter, and friends and sisters that have gone through the process of trying to work, be in the workforce, successfully in the workforce, manage school, and also manage being a parent. And that also goes out for some of the guys that I've known that have done the same thing. That's right. There are many men out there now that are actually responsible for families on their own without a mom, and they are the sole single parent, and they are doing a wonderful job working and going to school too. There are just so many problems, a multitude of problems that are faced by parents who are also in school and working a full-time job. And I'd like to examine this morning what makes it so difficult for them to balance all of the stress and the work. Do they have to be multitaskers? That's my new name for them, multitaskers. So that's what we'll be talking about this morning. I've invited some people on to talk about that, whether they are parents themselves or students who have experienced seeing people going to school and dealing with the stress of working and going to school at the same time. And especially those, and this is really, really something that is new on the horizon. Check this out. I ran into a family who both parents are blind. One is visually impaired and one is totally blind from birth. And they have three beautiful children, and they're both going to college and doing a wonderful job with raising their children. And they have a little bit of help coming in few caregivers coming in to help them out with a few things, but basically that's just for their own personal taking care of them personally. They don't have a real good support system for what they're doing with their children, but they make it. And if you look at them as an example, with three children and both of them, one being visually impaired and one being blind, you can see that their struggles and their stress probably are multiplied 10 times more than the average parent going to school, but they're still doing it. Many times people will ask me, not just me, but others that have visible disabilities, and say, you know, if you can do it, I can do it. And that's a real nice thing to say, and I'm glad that I'm part of the motivation for them to get things done in their life. However, it's more important that all of us recognize that we all have some type of dis in our abilities, and it's always a challenge to get going and stay motivated and what goals we set. And so we need to develop a support system. But before we even develop that support system, we must be balanced. That's a word I'm going to throw out there a lot. Balance. Balance in everything that we're doing. That is the hardest act. Have you ever watched a juggler? You know, the guy that has to throw the balls up in the air? And I don't know, for me, when I was a kid, the first time I saw it, I said, oh my God, I would love to be able to do that. There's no way, that looks so hard. And I tried it a couple of times. Never worked, because juggling balls up in the air and trying to stay balanced with it is just as hard as trying to stay balanced with our lives. What kind of balance are we talking about? Before we get into the support system, what kind of balance are we talking about? Balance in our physical being. Balance in what we eat, the activity level that we have. Balance in how we operate through our environment throughout the day. Balance. Avoiding stressful situations. If you find yourself in a stressful situation, always look at the Serenity Prayer. Keep that in your mind. I love that prayer. And it simply says, God, grant me the serenity, that means the peace, to accept the things I cannot change, and the courage to change the things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference between what I can change and what I cannot. And if you remember those words, it will help you so much in taking care of the balance in your life. So we talked about balance from a physical standpoint, and all of you know about, I mean, gosh, it's all over the television every time you turn around and look, about how we should eat healthier. So we already understand those principles. How about balance mentally, especially when you're talking about preparing to go to school? If you are a parent, especially a parent with a disability, and you're trying to go to school and work and balance out those things, you have to have a balance in your mental capacity. That doesn't mean that if you're diagnosed with a mental health disorder that you can't go to school. By all means, you should go to school. That will help you to stay balanced. But you must make sure that for all of us, that we don't overload ourselves. I have one young lady now. She has two children, both babies under 3 years old, and she's taking 20 credits. 20 credits, my friends, is over full time. That's a lot to balance, and she's working part time. Can you imagine her life? She says she does it quite well, though, and she does. I looked at her schedule. She has balance in her life. She does yoga in the morning and in the middle of the afternoon and wherever she feels stressful. So, and she eats properly, and she makes sure that she's in an environment that feeds her very, very nicely as far as avoiding stress. Now, when she gets down to the kids, she said that's something that she can't do very well. So we've got the physical, and then the mental, and then the spiritual part. And we know spiritually that there's got to be some balance. That means everything that happens to us that we really can't understand, That's the spiritual part of life. And having balance in that, and that goes back to the serenity prayer, doesn't it? Another part in going to school, and this is good for everyone to understand, is the ability to balance our checkbook. You see, it's not just balance in life, it's balancing our checkbooks. And so our checkbook, it doesn't have to, you know, I had a student say to me, well, I don't have a checkbook. No. It means balancing your finances, making sure that before you start off on school, every semester, you should make sure that you have enough put aside for the emergencies. Not just for the child care, not just for transportation, not just even for household budget, but for those emergency times. Well, they'll say to me, well, Professor, how much should I put aside? Well, you should have at least 3 times your salary in the bank. That's a good rule of thumb. So if you make $1,000 a month, you should have $3,000, at least fight, struggle for that, to put $3,000 and keep that in your emergency fund. That will help you get through if something happens in your job. Now, if you can't do that, half is fine, even $1,500. But something in your emergency fund that you do not touch at any other time. So we've covered being balanced physically, being balanced mentally, being balanced spiritually, and being balanced financially. Those are the keys to making sure that if, whether you're a student with children or without children, those are just great techniques that you can use to make sure that you stay balanced. We have a few callers online. Let's take them and see if they have any comments for us this morning. Good morning. This is Professor Applewhite. This is a 480-824 number. How are you?
What number did you say?
824.
Oh, 824, yeah.
Hello. Hi. This is
hi,
a familiar voice.
How
are you doing? Hello there.
Yeah,
Tom,
yeah.
Right? Well, great. I'm
right.
So glad you joined us this morning.
Right.
Well, nice to hear from you. A great White Apple Institute supporter and student. Thank you so much for calling in. You've been on the line for a while. Have you heard some of the comments?
Yeah, I've heard some of the comments. I think it's very good to have balance in your life. You know, whether you're in school or not, it's important to have balance in your life.
Mm-hmm.
I used to play wheelchair basketball when they went to school at ASU. And the wheelchair basketball helped me sleep and manage stress that I had in school. You know what
very
I mean?
Very good point. Yes, very good point you're making, that sports is a very good outlet. As I was talking about that one student who does yoga is actually a sport. And so any sports outlet is a really good thing. Thanks for emphasizing that, Tom. Very good point. I'll be coming back to you. So I want to make sure I get to all the callers online this morning because I invited some guests on. Hello, how are you? This is a 797 number. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Applewhite.
This is Tony.
Tammy? Hello, Tony.
Tony?
Hi.
Yes.
Is it T-O-N-I?
Hi.
T-O-N-I. So, Tony, how'd you hear about us, Tony?
Oh, from Tom.
Oh, well, great. I'm so glad you called in this morning. It's so wonderful to hear your voice.
Thank
and
you so much.
Do you go to school? Are you thinking about going to school?
I do not. And right now I would just like to listen to everyone else.
Okay, wonderful. Well, I hope you enjoy the show. And we have one more caller online this morning. Starting off, great switchboard all lit up here. How are you doing? 200, 480-200. Hello. Good morning.
Good morning, Ms. Abel, Maria.
Good morning, Maria. Thank you so much for calling in. So faithful. Thank you for being so loyal to the White Apple Institute show, the student-teacher radio show. And if you have any comments at all to make about the trouble with being a parent and a student, please feel free to jump in. I think a lot of the things that we're talking about today apply to everyone that's trying to go to school and work, and trying to make sure they're prepared. You agree?
Yes.
So without going too deeply into some of the spiritual things of going to school. Would you? Is there anything that you can share with parents, Maria, that will help them to stay more balanced?
With parents?
Yes.
I'm not a parent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Not, you're not a parent, but have you met people that are going to school and trying to balance out their schoolwork and struggling with being mothers or dads?
Not that I can imagine that it has to be really hard. Like you said, that younger has 20 classes and babies in school and work. I mean, that has to be really stressful for her. But she said that she has a good balance.
Right. It's stressful for what just one person trying to go to school and manage a job at the same time. And can you imagine being a parent? I have a student she saved up money in the trust, okay? So she had money, and then she had student loans that she had from going to school before. So this young lady, Betty, she wants to have another child. And while she's in school, and I hope that she's going to take this advice. And Betty, if you're listening to us this morning, okay, please understand that all the struggles that you're asking for, maybe you could just wait until you finish your bachelor's degree.
I think she's making me already
stressed out. Do you see that, Betty? You're stressing out one of the listeners already on here, okay? Because you've got to balance that lifestyle, okay? You've got to balance out your future. Because life is so unpredictable as it is, and we have to embrace all the surprises, I'll say surprises, or emergencies that happen in our life, and so we certainly don't want to create more. So only thing we ask for, Betty and other people that are thinking of adding more onto their load, or not thinking carefully about how many classes they're signing up for, please step back for a moment. And look around in your environment and make sure that you have really analyzed what you're doing. Do you know, and Tom, being an ASU student, can probably back us up on this, that basically you need 2 hours for every 1 hour of class. So that means that every class you sign up on, you should have at least 3 hours that you can put aside for that particular class. Now that doesn't sound like a lot by itself, but when you think about the factor that there's only 168 hours in a week, now I'm going to say that again to you, there's 168 hours in a week. No one, absolutely no one, not Donald Trump, not the president, no one gets any more than that. That is 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 7 times 24. So with that 168 hours, when you begin to deduct out your sleep time, when you deduct out the time it takes you to prepare for work and for school, and then throw in the formula of studying, which is if you're taking 2 classes, that's 6 hours a week. You know, don't try to stay up with the math too much. Just try to stay with me on the concept that I'm bringing to you. So most people try to carry 6 to 9 credits. So if you think about a class and 2 hours of study time, you're already looking at what there? That's 18 hours that you're looking at already out of your 168 hours a week, minus your sleep time, shopping time, just leisure time, sports time, stressless time. So when you think about all of that put together, that's where you have to really find some balance. A lot of people, what they do is when you get overloaded in your schedule, we start taking away from the one area that we don't need to take away from, and that is the word that starts with an S and ends with a P. You know what that is,
sleep.
Don't you, Tom? That's
sleep.
Right. That's right. We lose sleep, which is an important part. As an athlete, you know that, how important that is, don't you?
Yeah, sleep is very important. I lost a swim meet once by 3/4 of a second in a 50-yard race, and I always wondered if I'd have had one more hour sleep if I could have won it.
That is wonderful. That is wonderful. And when we think about how important sleep is to avoid stress in our life, you know, our bodies are set up on what we call a circadian rhythm. And it's a big word, but I'll tell you what it means. You know, because a lot of us doctors and professors out there, sometimes we like to use big words without explaining what they really mean. And it's just circadian rhythm just means this 24-hour cycle that we need to get rest. We need to have a balanced life with, okay? And all of us have circadian rhythms that are kind of like customized to us. They're our own balance. And so some of us have a need only for 6 hours of sleep, and some have a need for 8 or 10 hours of sleep. But whatever that need is, you know what it is. And you know that you have to accomplish that in your daytime, or you won't be able to complete some of the goals that you set. So the next thing I wanted to talk to you about after balancing your time out is that, you know, you need to do some good time management with that balancing. And that might include making sure your calendar's up to date, just as a little last-minute technique I wanted to add in there, making sure you have a good calendar that details all of the things that you want to do. If you're a parent with a child, and I learned this the hard way, my son looked at my calendar one day and said to me, "Mom, who's on your calendar?" And I said, "Well, all the important people that I have to see in a week." And he said, "Well, am I important?" I said, "Of course you are." He said, "Well, why am I not on your calendar?" So from that day, yes, from that day, I made sure that I blocked out time on my calendar for my son to see how important he was in my life and that he had an important date with me also. So preparing in advance for your obligations is very important out of that 168 hours in a week.
That is sweet.
You like that, huh?
Yeah.
That is so, and it's true, not only when you're talking about children, but when you're talking about a mate in your life, a husband or a boyfriend, that they need to see that especially if you're going to school and you're working and doing a lot of things in your life that are keeping you busy, that they're important too, just as important as what you're doing on the outside, that there's nothing that you're going to put before them. And that also goes for your spiritual life, that you want to make sure that you have your position with whatever you see as God first in your life and that you give time for that. I remember once someone saying to me that if we could only just give 1 hour a day just to God, just in prayer, in meditation, or in planning something good to do for other people, that would be so awesome. And I'd have to agree with that. So planning, time management, calendar, very important to that balancing act. Now let's talk a little bit about support systems, okay? Support systems are very, very important. So who's your support system? What kind of people make up a support system in our lives? Anybody
friends,
have an idea?
Family,
mm-hmm.
Friends, family, relatives, I guess relatives and family are the same.
Mm-hmm.
Just friends and family and acquaintances and anybody who helps you deal with stress really is part of your support system.
Mm-hmm. Now, what about the people who don't have relatives? They don't have any, you know, the parental foundation is not there. Mom, dad.
Okay, well, what you do, well, my wife was a good example. She was mentally
mm-hmm.
ill, and she moved
mm-hmm.
from Connecticut to Arizona, and she built her own support system.
Mm-hmm.
She decided she wanted to find a boyfriend, and that fit the bill, and she wanted friends, and she wanted all this stuff, so she met people, and she built her own support system.
Mm-hmm.
And you can build a support system if you don't have it. It's just most of us have at least somewhat of a built support system already built in with friends and family and stuff. stuff like that.
That's right.
If you've lived any place for a long period of time.
And, you know, sometimes if you haven't done that, there are support groups that you can get into. And that's a very important thing. I remember once in our conversations that you were talking about the factor that if people had at least stopped sometime and just asked your wife how she was doing, that it would have made such a difference. And I encourage all of us to become a support system for others. In other words, when you see someone that's bogged down a little bit with school or work or just life, take some time and get to know them. You know, we've lost a lot of that with our technology today, of getting in touch with each other, talking to each other, caring about each other, and building that support system. And it doesn't, does it have to mean that we have to see each other every day or talk to each other on the phone every day, Maria?
No, not exactly, no.
No. I mean, if we have a support system that every once in a while we know that we can call on those people to help us get through a tough time, that's important. Tom, you were going to say something else.
Well, I was going to say, you know, with the mentally ill person like my wife, too, she would talk to herself or do whatever, and people would actually make fun of her, which is cruel, just plain cruel, you know.
Even as adults you're talking
about. And that happens with mentally ill people a lot. Yeah, even as adults. Well, I think a lot of people have at least thought about losing their mind, and it scares the hell out of them. So they make fun of it and try to convince themselves it won't happen to them. It's what I think happens there.
Yeah, very good, very good point. And we have to keep in mind that all of us, especially in this stressful society, are, if we're not careful, stress can definitely lead to anxiety disorders and certainly depression. I can't even begin to tell you the number of people that are on antidepressant drugs and anti-anxiety drugs to help them just to get through college, any classes, any job training program, because life is so stressful for them. I encourage, there's one more thing I wanted to say with a few minutes still left on our show this morning. I wanted to encourage you, all the listeners out there, that it's important to look at this distant learning thing very carefully, the online learning. That's becoming a big rage now in our society. Everybody, you know, is thinking about online classes. And for a moment, I just want to say to you, I'm teaching online also, and it is not an easy route. It is a very, you have to be extremely disciplined. And so I ask you, if you know anybody, whether you're in school now yourself, thinking about school, or if you know anybody that's taking, getting ready to take online classes, encourage them to listen to the show or to contact White Apple Institute so that we can talk to them a little bit more about how online learning requires great discipline, completing the coursework in a very timely manner without anyone there. And sometimes we need that structure of a traditional classroom. So we need to take classes that we're sure we can get through online and at home on our own, because it is more difficult, more challenging to do it without a support system in your home. You got that?
Yep.
I've enjoyed everyone this morning. This has been a wonderful show. Thank you so much for your comments this morning. And any of you parents out there thinking about going to school or in school and having challenges, please make sure you contact us here at whiteappleinstitute.org so that we can talk to you a little bit more about how to stay balanced. All right, thank you so much. And we close the show out now with Wes Ricks from Two Worlds. And we thank him so much for this great flute music. Thank you so much for joining us this morning, Tony. That was really nice of you to call in. I hope you got something out of that 168 hours a week. Okay? keep that in mind for yourself. Okay?
Happy All Thanksgiving, right. you guys.
Thank you, and happy Thanksgiving to everyone, too. And be aware that, yes, Thank you so much for your time. Much love and peace.